Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Big Dave Podcast.
B105, the Big Dave Show. Opening day is tomorrow. So we've been baseball all week. And down here yesterday, we had our pre-opening day cookout at the station. Yes. And, hot dogs, hamburgers, even they had black bean burgers. I did not see those, but I saw people emailing about them later.
They were happy there was that option.
Yeah. You
know, not everybody.
Yeah. So it was just a lot of food. I mean, people had so many crock pots and things. It was a lot. And it was a lot to get on one plate. And you had a huge problem with a coworker yesterday, Ashley.
I did. So, I'm sitting down eating lunch with Sude and Anna, and Jesse joined us, and we're all just talking, and I just happened to look over on Jesse's plate, and they had these delicious, I guess they were like an Oreo ball,
like
kind of like
ball.
A cake pop without the stick, right?
Yeah, they're good.
Oh, they were good. Uh-huh. I had two of them. And I had mine kind of sitting on a napkin off to the side.
That's what I would do too, yeah.
Yeah. He had his like sitting very close, touching his baked beans. And I'm like, okay, if it was mac and cheese, no problem.
Touching the baked beans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not your chocolate, not your Oreo ball. So me being me, I say something. I'm like, Jesse, your chocolate is touching your baked beans. It's grossing me out. He picks it up and puts it on top of his baked beans.
That's my man.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because it's his plate. It's his food. He can eat it however he wants. I just think it's kind of funny when you think you can tell somebody what to do and they do whatever they want. That's just funny to me.
Food touching food, though, is a... Yeah.
It's cringy.
My wife lives by the plastic divided plates. She will not let any of it, like Thanksgiving, she'll get one of those serving dishes that have every bunch of little spots to put food and they won't touch. I don't care. I grew up in a pile it on the plate family.
It's just different for me with a dessert. Now, like I'm saying, all of the food could be touching the entree, all of it.
But mashed the dessert potatoes. Should be separate, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Man, and he could wipe it off, though, couldn't he?
But why would you wipe it off? Why wouldn't you just put it separate? To begin with, it's just crazy to me how people operate differently. I'm like, there's no way my Oreo balls are going to be floating in my baked beans.
Well, when you pile your plate up so much that you need a second hand to keep it from folding onto itself, that's where you end up just putting a dessert on the plate with all the rest of the stuff. It's about convenience, I think, when you got a buffet style eating.
Mm-hmm. Piling up. Yeah. But Jesse's not eating that much. We know he's like a bird anyway.
Well, he did have a giant plate of baked beans. Which
those were good, though.
Really good.
That was our girl Tisha's husband's recipe. I had seconds of those.
Yeah. Just hold the Oreo balls out of my baked beans.
But I didn't put them on there. Something weird I do, and if you ever sit next to me, you will notice this. Rarely do I eat out of order. I eat one thing. And then I move on to the next.
I used to do that.
And then I won't like, I'm going to have a bite of this and then a bite of that and then a bite of this. I usually kind of just go around my plate.
But eating. Can your dessert touch your entree?
Absolutely not. I could not. I don't think I could do that. Stat didn't have a problem with it. I think it's weird. I mean, strange.
I think a dessert deserves its own plate.
It does.
Or napkin, whatever
it is. It's special.
Yeah. It is.
749-B105 or through the app. This could be like a who was right last night almost, Jesse or Ashley.
It's just grossed me out. And then I'm wondering, I'm like, are there any extras downstairs, you think, of the Oreo balls?
Dude.
Go check. Go check right now. They always pile it in the fridges down there.
More of the Big Dave Podcast.
B105, The Big Dave Show. Opening day is tomorrow. So we've been baseball all week. And down here yesterday, we had our pre-opening day cookout at the station. Yes. And, you know, hot dogs, hamburgers, even they had black bean burgers. I did not see those, but I saw people emailing about them later.
They were happy there was that option.
Yeah. You
know, not every vegetarian.
Yeah. So it was just a lot of food. I mean, people had so many crock pots and things. It was a lot. And it was a lot to get on one plate. And you had a huge problem with a coworker yesterday, Ashley.
I did. So, you know, I'm sitting down eating lunch with Sude and Anna, and Jesse joined us, and we're all just talking, and I just happened to look over on Jesse's plate, and they had these delicious, I guess they were like an Oreo ball,
like
kind of like
ball.
A cake pop without the stick, right?
Yeah, they're good.
Oh, they were good. Uh-huh. I had two of them. And I had mine kind of sitting on a napkin off to the side.
That's what I would do too, yeah.
Yeah. He had his, like, sitting very close, touching his baked beans. And I'm like, okay, if it was mac and cheese, no problem.
Touching the baked beans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not your chocolate, not your Oreo ball. So, me being me, I say something. I'm like, Jesse, your chocolate is touching your baked beans. It's grossing me out. He picks it up and puts it on top of his baked beans.
That's my man.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because it's his plate. It's his food. He can eat it however he wants. I just think it's kind of funny when you think you can tell somebody what to do and they do whatever they want. That's just funny to me.
Food touching food, though, is a... Yeah.
It's cringy.
My wife lives by the plastic divided plates. She will not let any of it, like Thanksgiving, she'll get one of those serving dishes that have every bunch of little spots to put food and they won't touch. I don't care. I grew up in a pile it on the plate family.
It's just different for me with a dessert. Now, like I'm saying, all of the food could be touching the entree, all of it.
But mashed the dessert potatoes. Should be separate, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Man, and he could wipe it off, though, couldn't he?
But why would you wipe it off? Why wouldn't you just put it separate? To begin with, it's just crazy to me how people operate differently. I'm like, there's no way my Oreo balls are going to be floating in my baked beans.
Well, when you pile your plate up so much that you need a second hand to keep it from folding onto itself, that's where you end up just putting a dessert on the plate with all the rest of the stuff. It's about convenience, I think, when you got a buffet style eating.
Mm-hmm. Piling up. Yeah. But Jesse's not eating that much. We know he's like a bird anyway.
Well, he did have a giant plate of baked beans. Which
those were good, though.
Really good.
That was our girl Tisha's husband's recipe. I had seconds of those.
Yeah. Just hold the Oreo balls out of my baked beans.
But I didn't put them on there. Something weird I do, and if you ever sit next to me, you will notice this. Rarely do I eat out of order. I eat one thing. And then I move on to the next.
I used to do that.
And then I won't, like, I'm going to have a bite of this and then a bite of that and then a bite of this. I usually kind of just go around my plate.
But eating. Can your dessert touch your entree?
Absolutely not. I could not. I don't think I could do that. Stad didn't have a problem with it. I think it's weird. I mean, strange.
I think a dessert deserves its own plate.
It does.
Or napkin, whatever it
is. It's special.
Yeah. It is.
749-B105 or through the app. This could be like a who was right last night almost, Jesse or Ashley.
It's just grossed me out. And then I'm wondering, I'm like, are there any extras downstairs, you think, of the Oreo balls?
Dude.
Go check. Go check right now. They always pile it in the fridges down there. B105, The Big Dave Show. So yesterday we had this big pre-opening day cookout at the station down in the cafeteria. Ashley sitting next to Jesse, and she noticed something that just made her triggered.
I was saying, Jesse, your Oreo ball is touching your baked beans. And then he picked up his Oreo ball and put it on top of his baked beans. And I'm cool with food touching food, but I don't want my Oreo ball floating in baked beans. My dessert needs to be separate.
It needs to have its own separate. So we're just kind of find out where you're at. We got Jesse here from Aurora, and you say you're with Jesse on this. Why?
Absolutely. I think bottom line is it all goes down the same pie hole.
I agree with that, but I'm just saying I want to enjoy the flavor of each one individually.
Yeah, that's your plate. But other people, some don't care. My brother, who is in the Marines, he piles it all together and stirs it up. I mean, everything. Mac yeah, and
he's,
cheese.
He's not salt, wrong. It's beans. Just an observation. I'm like, what did you do with your dessert?
Oh, I wait till I have a clean plate because you got to be in the clean plate club before you go back. What do you mean?
Well, you don't want it touching your beans or your other stuff.
I feel like it's a reward after you clear the plate. Yeah. But I don't care if any of the other food touches.
No.
Yeah, I say it's your plate. Do it what you want to. Mind your own business.
God bless America.
All right. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it. Those Jessies sticking together.
Yeah, but they are.
Lindsay from Lawrenceburg, you have a different take. And what is it?
Jesse is disgusting. That's nasty. Why are you going to put your Oreo ball in your baked beans? That's foul.
Separate.
You should not
separate
put your dessert
them
on the rest of your food. Ashley, Jesse's disgusting. That's
Can you, just so I get a clear recording of you, will you say that just one more time, what you said to start this off?
Jesse's disgusting?
Yeah, thank you.
It was gross.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks.
Steve from Morrow, you say let the food touch. It's Thunderdome on your plate.
Yes, it's all going down to the same system.
It's all fuel for the soul.
But are you going to, like, okay, let's say you get a plate full of food and there's a piece of pie there. Are you going to throw the pie on top of the other
potatoes?
Food? Or yeah.
Well, sure, yes.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to how much is there. Now, if you get like one shot at the buffet line and you got to get it all at once, then yeah, who cares? If it touches, at least you got your pie.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for the call, Steve.
Thank you.
Tess from Wilmington, you're a big team, Ashley, and why is that?
Well, I mean, my food can touch. I don't mind that. But when it comes to desserts, no. I have to have my dessert, my own plate, like a separate table, far away from the other food as possible.
So it's 100%. A whole new plate for the dessert.
100%. New silverware, new plate, everything.
You know what? Yeah. You just reminded me because I did not have the cake balls yesterday, but after I got through, I noticed that somebody had made that pistachio jello with the marshmallows, you know, the green thing. And I was like, oh, I got to get some of that. I got a brand new plate because I had baked bean residue and all that other stuff on there. I'm like, I want to enjoy that without that on there. So I even got a new plate for that.
And I'm not even that bougie. I put my desserts on my napkin. They were right next to my plate.
Oh, man. Coming through the B105 app, Brent says, you definitely cannot have dessert touching your food. But on the other hand, Ashley will do anything for free food.
That's true. And Zach says, you can't have soggy dessert. That's terrible.
More of the Big Dave Podcast. Dad joke of the day on B105.
And this morning, we've got our favorite Churrito regional manager, Jeff, from West Harrison, Indiana. Good morning, Jeff.
How you doing this morning? I got a good one for us.
Oh, well, let's have it. You've sold it now. Let's hear it.
What's the difference between having an argument with your wife and playing the lottery?
I don't know. What's the difference between having an argument with your wife and playing the lottery?
At least when you're playing the lottery, you got a chance to win.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Jeff. Your wife is going to hear this.
Absolutely.
So unless you won the lottery, you in a lot of trouble, brother.
I'm in a doghouse. It's all good.
More of the Big Dave Podcast.
7:13. Happy Wednesday. Happy Hump Day. And it's another time when Statman's brother Tom comes into town. And have you noticed this, Ashley, that every time he's in town, they seem to buy a new vehicle of some sort?
It's a pattern.
Yeah. I shouldn't use the word new because it's never new.
Or buy. we
can buy. All right.
It's crazy. All right, so we got a new vehicle in our lives, and his name is George the out of Ford Focus.
Why in the world?
Well, George, because Hugo, the abominable snowman in Looney Tunes, he always wanted a rabbit, and he wanted to hug him and hold him and squeeze him and keep him for his own. But
wanted my own little bunny rabbit.
God.
I will name him George, and I will hug him and pet him and squeeze him.
Yes, except for just like with Hugo, it's not a rabbit. It's a Ford Focus. And we call it the out of focus because if you squint your eyes just enough and you look at it out of focus, it looks all right. It's okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, the rims on one side don't match the other side, but at least the two on the side that you're on, they match.
They match.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing.
Ford Focus, that's a nice little car.
What year is this car?
It's a 2009, which is like the only year to not avoid. The thing, it has over 200,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And my brother acquired it out in Denver. Somebody drove it out there and said, hey, you want this car? It's yours. You can have it. So my brother fixed it, sold it, made money on it. Then that person sold it back to him for less.
Oh, my gosh.
He then gave it to somebody else who sold it.
What is going on?
And then it was sold back to him for even less. He made money on another transaction. This thing has left our lives like three different times.
That's what I was going to ask. How many times has your brother Tom bought and sold this car?
Three different times, yeah. But now it's finally...
It's his.
We're just going to keep it because at this point, it's like ready for a demolition derby. It's got so many dings and the paint's faded.
How did it end up in from Colorado to here? Did he drive it?
He put it on a trailer.
Okay.
And brought it back because it was kind of unreliable. And,
sure. That's a long distance.
Yeah, the tires aren't really balanced, so it has a little vibration. It kind of shakes a little when you drive. But it's a great runaround vehicle. Gets good gas mileage. And our Uncle Mike's got a big old diesel truck. And if you see diesel prices, you see why.
Sure.
Yeah, he's like a work car. Or,
yeah, it's just errands, a running back and forth. Well, my uncle's the one that named it George and said he would love it and care for it and take care of it. And then he rammed it into a guardrail. So this past weekend, we went up there to, you know, assess the damage. And honestly, it kind of looks better than before. It kind of straightened the headlight out a little bit.
I didn't expect you to say that.
The only time in the history where you wreck a car and it looks better than it did pre-wreck. I can't even with this.
But while we were working on it, we decided to have a little fun because we know our uncle's got to drive us back and forth. And he's big Harley. He's a bad boy.
Uh-huh.
Tough dude. So we put a Hello Kitty sticker on it. Put some pink valve covers over the tires.
Fancied it up a little bit.
And since we got plates for it, we had to put a nice little, you know, pink bedazzled license plate cover around it.
My gosh.
With anti-theft bolts so he can't take it off even if he wants to.
Like putting the lipstick on the pig.
Yes.
So did you return this now bedazzled car to him?
Yes. So now my uncle, I don't know. We could call him and see if he's going to drive to work today, but he's just now realizing as he goes to his car right now that, oh, this looks like a teenage girl's car.
So he had not seen it yet.
No, he's coming out this morning.
Oh my gosh.
The steering wheel cover has got like pink flames on it. Oh yeah. There's like a high heel shoe air freshener over the mirror.
You guys overdid. I love this. This is fun.
It's a good prank, but knowing how gas prices are, I can see him driving it.
Yeah,
right?
Don't blame him at all. I don't care what it looks like.
All right.
Save the money. So, George, the out of focus is living on.
I can't. It's 717 B105 traffic check. Denise Johnson, hello.
More of the Big Dave podcast.
B105, the Big Dave show. We got Rachel from Hyde Park here with us. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
Rachel, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have two brothers.
All right. So when you guys get together, do you guys ever cause as much trouble as Stat and his brother Tom seem to do?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. All right. You're not
alone.
It's a family tradition.
Yes. So they just got yet another car that they doctored up with Hello Kitty, all this kind of stuff to give to their uncle to drive, which is mean.
Right.
Well, we're helping them save on gas.
What is the name, the full name of the car?
It's George, the out-of-focus Ford Focus.
Congratulations.
You had the full legal name there, too. I love it.
With the updates, though, it might be like Georgetta or something like that. Well, congratulations, girl. You're going to see Brothers Osborne at Andrew J. Brady Music Center on April 11th.
Thank you.
Oh, good. Have a great time. Maybe take one of your brothers.
I'll think about it.
No, that's a no.
The Big Dave Show.
Ashley Dave Statman.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I'm Bradley Traynor.
And I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
More of the Big Dave Podcast.
B-105.
It's Who Was Right Last Night.
You're right.
On B-105.
You know what? You're right.
All right, into the Who Was Right Last Night courtroom this morning. We welcome Doug. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. So you and your wife, Mary, are in a pretty good argument right now. And this has all started by a couple of weeks ago on a Crockpot Tuesday. You heard us here on B105. I had made, I believe, the cowboy casserole that called for a whole cup of mayonnaise in it. And, Stat, you kept going, yeah, could you use Miracle Whip and all this stuff?
Oh, I love triggering the Hellman's people with Miracle Whip. Yeah. Personally, I like Duke's, but, what you know, I just think it's funny. People who just hate Miracle Whip, mm-hmm. Oh, they'll tell you all the time how much they hate it.
Well, this sparked a big debate between you and Mary when you guys heard us doing this on the show. So what happened?
I'm a mayonnaise guy through and through. I mean, I cannot stand Miracle Whip. You put Miracle Whip in something, I taste it right away. I don't want to eat it anymore. It's got to be mayonnaise. So the argument that I'm having with my wife was last Easter. My sister-in-law, my wife's sister, she volunteered to make her portion of the meal. She was going to make the deviled eggs. Mm-hmm. So she arrives, the deviled eggs, they look beautiful. Deviled eggs are one of my favorite appetizers.
Here, I'm with you.
I go in, I have one, take the first bite, and it's just like wrenching. I can just taste this. It's a miracle. I'm like, bleh. I couldn't eat another one. And it was disgusting. I just looked at them all day long saying, I wish I could eat those, but I know they're made with Miracle Whip. So it was not happening. Fast forward to this year.
Okay.
My sister-in-law is going to bring the deviled eggs again. So I tell my wife, Mary, I'm like, look, she can do the deviled eggs, but she's got to use mayonnaise. I mean, I cannot have anything with Miracle Whip. It's disgusting. It's just got to be real mayonnaise. I mean, I don't want to have the same situation as last year. And she's like going, you can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference between Miracle Whip and mayonnaise. It's the same thing. Who cares what she makes? I'm like, it's absolutely not the same thing. You can taste the difference. You can taste one is real, one is fake. Please back me up here.
All right. And now, do you have a preference of mayonnaise? Are you a Duke's guy or a Hellman's fella? What?
Both. Duke's, Hellman's, they're both fantastic. Okay. It's just, I cannot stand that oily, fake, chemically nastiness of Miracle Whip.
I mean, it says it on the bottle. It doesn't say mayonnaise anywhere on the bottle. It says dressing. It's a salad dressing masquerading as a mayonnaise to me.
Exactly. So why would you use it to cook? You want the real ingredients. You're not going to use fake stuff when you're cooking. Use the real stuff.
You must have very sensitive taste buds. I'll be honest. I can't tell the difference.
Dude, I can immediately.
Oh, you
yeah. Can't? No, get that trash out of here. All right. Exactly. So where is this at right now?
She's still telling me that there's no way that I'm going to be able to tell the difference. She's not going to go to her sister and tell her sister how to make her own recipe. And I'm like, well, fine, then just keep it away from me. And then if I want deviled eggs at Easter, I certainly want deviled eggs. And if you're not going to tell your sister to make it with mayonnaise, then, hey, you better make me some. Put them on the side. Put them in another room. I don't care. But they make me some real ones with some real mayonnaise in them.
Wow.
So, and she refuses to talk to her sister.
Oh, yeah. And she's, I mean, when I told her that she had to make something specific just for me, that didn't help the situation either.
You've presented your case, Doug. So let's go to the jury now. Jury member number one, Statman.
I see where you're coming from, but I say take things into your own hand. Just because she's deemed to bring deviled eggs does not mean you can't bring your own. So nothing is stopping you from going ahead and make your own deviled eggs and bring them along. I mean, if it's your sister-in-law's recipe, it doesn't mean you got to like it. Just let it be. Keep the peace. Make your own.
All right, Team Mary.
Yeah, Mary.
All right, Ashley.
Well, my Aunt April's deviled eggs are my most favorite thing on, like, the planet.
They're to die for.
Yes.
You can't, hint, Aunt April. Hint, that. Hint.
And I just got to say, she makes them with mayo, so I'm sticking with mayo. Because if she were to change that recipe, ain't going to be the same.
Never going to say hold the mayo.
No.
I'm going full Doug here. It is not a mayonnaise, and I don't want it anywhere near. I mean, people put it on a sandwich. You can tell it's too tangy. I don't know what's going on there. I just looked it up just to see what's all about. Did you know it was actually launched at the 1933 World's Fair in Chicago? Those people that were in attendance there, they should have put a stop to it. Right then and there.
If you have a time machine, you're going back to then.
I'm not going to go back and keep Lincoln from getting assassinated. No, I'm going to the 1933 World's Fair in Chicago, and I'm going to go, stop! You don't know what you're doing! You're unleashing this on everybody. No, but you know what? I mean, if that's the way she likes them, they like them. Everybody's got different tastes. I am all for you making your own, like Stat said, but I'm also for someone sitting your sister-in-law down and explaining to her, no, no more, no. All right?
Absolutely.
All right, so let's see what our B105 jury thinks at 749-B105 and also through the B105 app. But you keep being the mayonnaise man that we all know and love, Doug.
I appreciate your help.
Gosh, the B105 app is exploding.
Yeah, Brian says, it's funny because my grandma actually raised us on Miracle Whip with one exception of when she made deviled eggs. Oh. She used mayonnaise.
Oh.
Another guy says, if the sauce is white, it ain't right. No to both.
Whoa.
Gregory Grant, game changer. Here we go. We use Frisch's tartar sauce in our deviled eggs.
Yeah.
What?
It is good. It is good. Man.
Podcast.
The Miracle Whip versus mayo debate has reared its ugly head. Doug is having it out with his wife, Mary. Last Easter, Mary's sister made deviled eggs using Miracle Whip, and Doug was just disgusted by this. He said, please tell her not to use that. Use mayo this year. She said she's not going to do it. Then Doug stupidly said, well, then you make me some with mayo, and we'll take those with us. Uh-oh. All right, so we're all over the place on this morning. Mike from College Hill, what do you say?
I don't even know how he's calling in with his hands don't work because he said, she better make me some. Make your own if you're a grown man. Cook for yourself.
Oh.
Yeah, amen.
Break his hands.
And when he said, keep that chemical-y stuff out of here, I guess he only uses real butter. Lord help you if you use margarine. That's laboratory made.
Oh, you know he's not using the margarine. He's expecting her to not use the margarine.
Right, exactly.
Kim from Cincinnati, you are fuming about this. Uh-oh. And why?
Absolutely. The fact that he thinks he has the right to tell two other women how they should cook for him.
Oh.
Oh, I had to pull over. This is killing me.
You're right. And like his dad said, make them yourself, dude.
Yeah, you're a grown adult.
Exactly. Just looking at it and just being like, oh my gosh, like it's just, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I think you would get out a different type of Miracle Whip for Doug, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I think so. Rachel in Hyde Park, you say mayo all the way.
All the way. Do not bring Miracle Whip in my house.
Not even in the house.
Not even in the house. I can tell the difference in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. I think anybody can. Oh, my gosh. Our app is absolutely blowing up here, Rachel, on this morning. Jennifer says, Miracle Whip is absolutely disgusting, vile, and should only be used as shoe polish. Oh. Bye-bye.
And then Evelyn. And then Evelyn follows it up, Miracle Whip, yuck, yuck, yuck. Oh, my gosh, capital letters.
Wow, all right, well, keep going.
More of the Big Dave Podcast.
It was right last night, Doug and Mary, it's all about deviled eggs, and somebody used Miracle Whip. Doug hated it. And mayonnaise should only be used, according to him. And, wow, you guys are exploding here. And Becky from Cincinnati, you say you're on team both, Doug and Mary, Miracle Whip and mayo, and why is that?
Because I have perfected the deviled egg. I am known for them. I have to bring them to every function that I come to. And I grew up with Miracle Whip, and I knew there was something wrong with it. And you cannot use it by itself. It is disgusting. But when you mix it when you mix it, you get this, you get a much richer taste. So it is about the taste for me. That's just the way I make them, and I'm known for them.
Make them with the Miracle Whip?
Miracle Whip and mayonnaise, Duke's mayonnaise. So you have to mix it. You can't do either or for me. If you mix it, if you just use mayonnaise, they don't taste right. If you just use Miracle Whip, they taste disgusting.
Hey, Becky, I think the only way that we could agree with you is if we try them.
I like where you're going here.
I can make that happen.
Oh,
bring it on.
Thank you. Ashley, you have many strengths, but your ability to get free food brought to us is one of your greatest.
Oh, my gosh. It might be my new found talent.
It's your superpower. All right, Becky. We're going to hold you to that, girl.
All right. Sounds great.
And the app just continues to explode this morning.
Oh, my gosh. I think we got the comment of the day, and it comes from Eddie. He says, bro, it's a miracle Mary ain't whipped you yet.
Oh, ouch.
And Marianne says, Miracle Whip should only be used for bologna and Doritos sandwiches after day drinking at the lake. Otherwise, Kraft mayo only.
Oh, man. This is one for the ages this morning.
The Big Dave Podcast.
We're coming out of Colorado Springs, more specifically, the Humane Society there of Pikes Peak. Now, that is where Jason Stoles works. Jason has a girlfriend, Julia Proper, and he's been trying for the last year to think of a unique way to propose to Julia. Now, enter a stray French bulldog that came into the Humane Society there named Banjo. Oh, God, I love that name. Little Banjo. Adorable, stranded somewhere, and the Humane Society took him over, and quickly Jason became enamored with Little Banjo. So it gave him an idea. How about I adopt Banjo and use him to ask Julia to marry me?
Whoa.
So he did. He went and got a special dog tag for Banjo, walks up to Julia and says, hey, I have adopted us this little French bulldog, Banjo. This is our puppy now. And Julia, of course, goes nuts because it's a puppy.
He's so cute.
Yeah. So he hands it to her and she's like, oh, it's already got a tag on. She looks at the tag to see where his name should be. And it said, will you marry me?
Oh, that was good.
Oh man. Yes. Yes. So Banjo played a part in it, now has a forever home, and also has a very important job coming up. Because, of course, Julia said yes. And when Julia and Jason get married, guess who the ring bearer is going to be?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, perfect.
He's going to be coming down. They got to play banjo music when he comes down there. It'll be banjo. So what a wonderful way to do it. Thanks for making every other guy in the world feel inadequate there, Jason. Good job. Jason and Julia and Banjo, have a happy life together there.
B105. More of the Big Dave Podcast.
Happy Wednesday to you. And we're looking good before opening day tomorrow. Sunshine and 57. Very nice. So we'll take it. Yesterday, I'm picking up my son Darren from school over there in Fort Mitchell at Beachwood. And I'm taking him over to his mom's to drop him off there. And we're turning on Carey Street. And you see this all the time. You think it's those landscaping trailers, big box trailers being pulled by a truck. Well, there was one on the street, and it had ramps in the back, which I think, you know, hey, they had a mower. They're out of somewhere here.
Yeah, landscaping.
But I teased Darren, and I said, hey, I should just drive my truck up into the back of it. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, like the Duke boys.
Yeah, and Darren says, yeah, that'd be funny. And then we get closer, and Darren, you can see something in the very back of the trailer or the front, whichever way you're looking at it. He goes, holy crap, there's a Lambo in there.
Oh, it's a car hauler.
I'm like, wait, yeah. And we go past it, and I'm like, wow. He goes, yeah, that was a Lamborghini. And I'm like, what in the world? It looks like an old beat-up trailer. So, all right, so I drop him off, and I'm coming back by, and they're backing it out of the trailer. Yes, it is a Lamborghini Urus.
And doesn't it sound awesome?
Well, I didn't get to hear it because he had already stopped it. But this guy is pulling it out, so I stopped, and I said, why are you pulling a Lamborghini? This is a $250,000 car.
Whoa.
I mean, yeah. And that's about where they start. That's probably with no AC.
That's out of my budget. You know, that's insane.
Yeah. It has everything.
Oh, yeah. But that, I mean, they start at like $239,000. So I'm just like, dude. And I said, what are you doing with that over here in Fort Mitchell?
Are you lost?
And he goes, no, I am taking it because Mercedes-Benz of Fort Mitchell is right on the other street. And he goes, we're dropping this car off there.
He's driving it a whole other, down another the road?
Block, basically. But, I mean, I did look when I drove past Mercedes-Benz. It was really crowded for some reason. There was a lot. So there's no place for him to pull this truck with a trailer and all that stuff. So he was going to pull it out and drive it over there. And I'm just like going, no, I could not drive that car.
You'd be so scared?
I would be. Stat, you're the only person I know that I think might get behind the wheel and have some form of confidence to drive that thing.
Definitely. I would love to, but that's why nobody would let me drive it, because I'm anxious to get in one. And I know the feeling you have after our company Christmas party when we were at Maggiano's once, right out front at Kenwood Mall was a blue one of those Lamborghini Yaris's. And I was like, oh my gosh, what? You just drive that to the mall?
I've never even heard of it.
Park it in a lot this?
This is in a whole other tax bracket. And you did send us a picture. And it's like a matte black. But then the colors.
It's got lime green inside the wheels.
It's a very unique color.
And Grover Collins had a great. He said, I wonder if it's for a Reds or Bengals player and it's being delivered there. And that's where they're going to pick it up.
Somebody that likes lime green.
Somebody that can afford a $250,000 car. The funniest thing is because, of course, this was right when school's letting out. So you got Beechwood, you got Covecath, Notre Dame Academy, all right around there. As I'm pulling out, I see this teenage girl sheepishly pulling up onto the street behind it. I'm like, please.
don't rear end them.
Because she's like, oh, and I could see her eyes. Why? Because she knew it was a Lambo. It says it right on the back. I'm like, yeah.
Keep your distance.
Give that thing a wide berth, but no. I would never drive it. Never.
You know, just to get an oil change on those things is like $15,000.
No way.
The upkeep of these high price cars are ridiculous.
So you're saying I can't go to Valvoline Instant Oil Change for that?
No. I don't think they'd even touch it, to be honest with
you. Maybe let us take a picture and now you get out of here.
We're going to pose in front of it and then let you go.
More of the Big Dave Podcast.
A big problem that Ashley had yesterday during our opening day pre-cookout that we had here at Hubbard Broadcasting. Lots of food, so much fun, getting to, you know, a little fellowship with your coworkers, getting ready for the Reds tomorrow. And Jesse Tack joins us on the phone right now because, Jesse, Ashley had issue with the way you were eating your food yesterday because she sat next to you.
Oh, yeah, she made that very clear, Dave.
Ashley, go ahead and tell us what happened.
So I'm sitting there with Sude, Anna, and Jesse, and our plates are full, and, you know, we're just having a conversation, and I happen to look down at Jesse's plate, and, like, his Oreo ball dessert was slightly touching his baked beans. And I was like, oh, Jesse, your dessert's touching your baked beans, where I have my dessert on the napkin next to my plate, because I don't think they should touch. And I'm okay with other food touching, but my dessert is separate. So he picks up his Oreo ball and he puts it right into the baked beans. And I was like, ugh. And I'm just like, I don't want Oreo balls floating in my baked beans.
Jesse, you the man. I love it.
Yeah, that did happen. I just want to say Ashley was making a little bit of a scene. And
well, you're kidding. No, she never does that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's no drama, no nothing, right? So I sit down and the first thing she says is not, hey, Jesse, or hi, Jesse, would you like to sit here? Your dessert's touching your baked beans. And I'm like, oh, well, hello to you, too. And out of spite, I picked up the dessert ball and put it right in the middle of my baked beans.
There you go, because it's your plate.
Stat's so passionate about this. Stat didn't even get a dessert on his own plate.
I think Stat's going to put a poster of you up in his room.
Talking about making a scene.
I just think it's funny because it's his plate.
I did say hi to Jesse first. I'm like, yeah, you can sit here because Natalie had just gotten up. So I think our scenarios are a little different.
Well, okay, well, I don't know. I didn't hear that there was a lot of people in there. But Ashley, I didn't even tell you this part. You're really going to hate this. When I finally picked up the dessert, which, by the way, I ate first before the baked beans, the whole bottom of it melted into the baked beans, and I still ate it.
Oh, I bet it made the beans taste good, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It was all melted chocolate.
Well, those beans were fire.
Yeah, Tisha's husband made the baked beans, and they were phenomenal. I mean, my gosh.
They were fantastic. Everything about it was good. I don't need separate things. I don't like wasting extra plates and napkins. It was good for me. And what's good for me is good for me.
That's right. It's your plate.
It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
We can say it's good for you, but I'm allowed to say that is gross.
Yeah. Earlier, Lindsay called in and said this to you.
Jesse is disgusting. That's nasty.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Yeah. but
I get it if your mac and cheese is touching, not your dessert.
But the thing I find hilarious. Out now, Stat is so pro what you did and everything, but we found out that after he finished his food, he went and got another plate and got his dessert.
Specifically right. for the dessert.
I didn't have enough room for anything else on my plate.
He's not practicing what he's preaching over here.
I topped off one plate and went back for more.
But you didn't put it on the same plate.
No, it wouldn't fit. I couldn't fit anymore. It was folding over. It was tacoing in.
Jesse, yeah. Did you ever think that just the way you were eating next to Ashley would cause such an uproar?
No, Dave. She stopped me in the hallway the other day with a big smile on her face. She goes, Jesse, you and I are way more alike than I ever thought. We eat all the time. We both like saving money. And it's all been destroyed now with one dessert.
You ruined it.
Hey, Jesse, you can sit at my table next time.
You are not the Oreo to my baked beans, Jesse.
All right, short-lived friendship. Sorry, Ashley.
All righty, well, let's see what 749B105 thinks, Jesse. Just hang up and listen to the carnage.
I will.
All right, feel free to weigh in right now.
Thanks for checking out the Big Dave Podcast. B105.com.
Waking up this morning, a lot of people are screaming about the NFL big rule change that came down late last night. So this involves the kickoff.
Gosh, so, another rule change. I try to keep up and think I know what's going on, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute.
Then they change it again.
Yeah.
What is it now?
A few years ago, you know, they moved up the kickoff. Because there's so many just violent collisions on kickoffs. You got
guys running full steam down the field,
and then here comes other guys, and bam! And that's where a lot of these concussions and injuries happen. So a few years ago, they moved it up to the 35-yard line to kick. So that way, it would go more than likely through the end zone. And
okay.
You have, it's like 95% of kickoffs since they did that are touchbacks. Hardly, I mean, think about it. When is the last time you see a kick return in the NFL, unless it's like a bad kick and they catch it at the 5-yard line, but still, even then, they can fair catch. Hey, whatever, I don't want to run.
It made it a little boring.
Yeah. So here's the new rule, which, by the way, is the way the XFL has been doing it for a couple of years. So the kickers are going to still line up at the 35-yard line, but they're going to be standing there by themselves. The other 10 players on the kicking team are going to be up 25 yards past the kicker. So they're going to go up to the 40-yard line past the midfield mark.
Oh.
So they're going to line up there, and then the receiving team is going to line up about 5 or maybe 10 yards from them. So they're going to be really close there. No chance to get a big run of steam and collide into each other. And then the returner is going to be back somewhere anywhere between the 20-yard line and the end zone. So
I feel like I need to see this play out before I fully understand.
Same.
It's very strange.
How do you feel about the new rule?
Well, I feel like it's going to lead to more touchdowns on kick returns.
Oh.
Because here's the thing. You always talk about where they got to hit the crease when they run back a touchdown on a kickoff. Oh, there's waves of guys coming at you. Now there's just one. And if you get past them, all you got to do is beat the kicker to get to the end zone. So I think, it could be more touchdowns. I don't know.
Now, I think it's going to be more tackles by the kicker.
You're going to find kickers. We need a kicker that's jacked a little bit more out there. So that's kind of where it's going now. Still, if you touch back, it's going to go to the 30-yard line if the ball is not returned. And if it goes out of bounds now, it goes up to the 40-yard line. So you're almost at midfield if the kicker kicks it and it goes out of bounds instead of to the returner or through the end zone.
That's significant.
So the kicker might look like Gronk and kick like Gronk, and it'll be bad.
It could be bad.
What about the onside kick? Are they still allowed to do that?
So, yes. However, now they have to let the referees know that they're going to do an onside kick. Now, most of the time, you do know because they line up in that formation.
Yeah.
And you usually have, like, wide receivers and things out there. The people, the hands team is what they call it. So now they're going to let the referee know. So you can no more do like you line up for a regular kick and all of a sudden right before switch to an onside kick formation. No, that's not going to happen. So, yeah.
What will they think of next?
Flags, maybe. It's going to become flag football. So I don't know. But that's the new kicking rule explained in a nutshell there for you.
The Big Dave Podcast.
Today, it's Elizabeth Rhodes from Morning View, Kentucky. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
So you're now in the country club. How about that?
It's pretty awesome because I never win anything.
Well, you can't say that anymore. Now, I'm looking over your application, and we kind of have something in common, but not really. I have well over 500 ball caps, and it says that you have well over 500 books, which makes you smarter than me, I think. So you love to read.
Yes. I got that from my mom back when I was really young. She loved to read, and she just put her love for books onto me. So,
what's your favorite book to read over and over again?
A Bend in the Road by Nicholas Sparks. It's more of a thriller.
I also see you like to knit. You knit hats and ear warmers.
Yeah, I do.
And you love to be outdoors, so that works out pretty good.
Yeah. Especially it got really cold. I just took that hobby up, the knitting, so.
So you not only picked up your love of reading from your mom, but also your love of B105.
Every day in the car, we listen to it.
So when you were a little girl in the car with your mom, listening to B105, what was the song that would come on that you loved the most?
Any George Strait song.
George Strait.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Yeah, you and your mom love the Strait Man.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, Elizabeth, we're going to get you in this country club right now, and we would love to, you know, play you a song next to get you officially enshrined. So what are we going to do?
Can you play Five More Minutes by Scotty McCreery?
Five More Minutes.
Oh, great song.
And he's kind of, you know, he has that George Strait vibe in a lot of his songs.
Mm-hmm. I love him.
All right. Well, let's do it for you right now. Elizabeth, welcome to the B105 Country Club. And here's Five More Minutes for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Big Dave Podcast. B105.com.